week ago, the cousins, Martello himself to be precise, told me we had less than 3 months to complete Operation Dolphin.
3 months? It's no business of Martello's, Smiley.
Well, you told them to push off, didn't you, George?
Martello's headquarters has informed the, what are they now called, Peter?
A Drug Enforcement Administration, the old Bureau of Narcotics.
Thank you. Has told them of the Moscow gold seam money running to Hong Kong and Drake Coe.
Well, the American narcotics people have been after Coe for years, before they could put a name to him, even.
Yes, indeed, Sam. Now they not only know who he is, but know he is being paid by Moscow to ship drugs into Red China and thus help to subvert that country.
They're simpletons, mad simpletons.
Puritans, Doc, Puritans.
George, how ridiculous. And they want to arrest him.
Oh, yes, they'll jump on him when he's in Thailand or anywhere outside our jurisdiction. Their plans will be ready in 3 months.
So, what do we do, George?
Honourable Schoolboy by John le Carré, dramatised in 2 parts by Frederick Bradnam, with Martin Jarvis as Jerry Westerby, Peter Vaughan as George Smiley, and Natasha Pine as Lizzie. Part 2.
You've all read my note about Ricardo's resurrection and his aborted flight to the Chinese mainland, I take it?
Yeah.
It's been established that the Beechcraft flown by Ricardo was bought by a Bangkok company, which Drake Coe's manager, Tu, is the managing director. I think we can assume that Ricardo's mission was arranged by Coe. The Beechcraft, by the way, was a 4-seater twin-engine plane.
4 seats? So Ricardo was to bring a body from the mainland. Is that your surmise, Smiley?
Ah, yes. Although we don't know yet if Nelson Coe is still alive.
Oh, he's alive, all right.
But we still need proof. Now, over the last few days, Craw has cabled us from Hong Kong with details of the journeys Tu has recently made to the Chinese mainland. They point to quite a flurry of activity. The next phase, therefore, rises from this. Our problem is to break the stalemate. As I've said, we can visit Drake Coe whenever we like, but we cannot move him. Now we must. I propose to do this by turning our tactic inside out, for the Dolphin case is worthless until resolved. In other words, we declare to Coe our interest in his affairs.
You're going to light a fire on his doorstep and see which way he runs, aren't you, George, darling?
We have to set about shaking Coe's tree to see what falls out. Schoolboy is to climb the tree, but stress to him this is a dangerous task. Suggest the first stage is to approach the lady in the case with tales of Ricardo and Russian gold.
Super. Gosh. Oh, marvellous. I've held my water so long, sport, I'm almost waterlocked.
It's a straight foot-in-the-door operation, Your Grace. You shove your way in there and start pitching and don't stop till you're out on the other side.
I'm supposed to have bought whiskey from her in Vientiane.
Right.
And so did how many?
Lizzie Worthington sold in all a cool 55 kegs of the blushful Hippocrene, Your Grace. Mm. Every one of them to a male buyer, and a fair number of them with service thrown in. Gives a new meaning to the term good measure, I venture to suggest.
Oh, there must have been a big, ugly bugger a bit like me among them, don't you reckon, Craw, old friend?
You've got to convince her there was, and it was you. And remember, Jerry, Coe owns Star Heights. You're going into the man's own building to seek out his round eye. Take care.
Oh, sure, sport. I'll buy some flowers for her. When you're my size, you have to have a hell of a good reason for whatever you do.
Evening. Social rush hour time. Chinese porter wonders, should he let me in? Well, American matrons go for flowers.
My, what lovely blooms. Are you visiting the Hammersteins, too?
Not that I know of. Excuse me, I must catch this lift.
Eighth floor for Lizzie. And we're here, sport. Wait about. Should be out any memento. Cross said she leaves about now for American Club on the dot every Monday. Male American advancing. Give him a nod.
You're looking for me with those things?
Well, I don't think so, actually. Apartment 9D, actually.
Wrong floor. You want one up.
And he departs by lift. 8C is the one. It opens. Here she comes, sport. Sees you not. And here we go.
Lizzie! Hey, Lizzie, it's me, Jerry.
Who? What?
Lizzie Worthington, House of Whiskey. Remember me, Jerry, chum of Tiny Ricardo's? 150-gallon keg with my name on the label, all painted above board.
Jerry? Jerry?
Westerby, newshound. You put the bite on me in the Consolation Bar. I wanted a spot of loving comfort, all I got was a keg of whiskey.
Oh, of course, Jerry, darling. How could I possibly... What are you doing in Hong Kong, my God?
Oh, usual beat, fire, pestilence, famine. How about you? Retired, I should think, with your sales methods. Well, how do you like Hong Kong, Lizzie?
I adore it, Jerry. I simply adore it. Vientiane seems, centuries away. You know Rick died.
I did hear. Are you going anywhere in particular this evening?
Only to the club. It's hen night. I have a nice red car waiting.
Say, mind if I ride in the back?
Why not? Why not? Why did you do that? Why did you turn the engine off?
Lizzie, I cannot tell a lie. I'm a viper in your nest.
You are? How?
Our chance reunion was not entire chance. My paper told me to run you to earth and ask you questions regarding your late chum, Ricardo.
But Ricardo's dead.
The comic is in possession of a hot tip that he's alive after all.
But that's absolutely absurd.
Oh, agreed. Totally. The consolation prize is 2 dozen well-thumbed orchids and the best dinner in town.
I want to cry. Forgive me. It's just... Well, when you love a man and he dies, then one evening, out of the blue...
Sure. I'm sorry.
Why be sorry? If he's alive, that's a bonus. If he's dead, nothing's changed. We're on a pound to nothing. Rick always said he was indestructible. Well, where are you going to take me?
You tell me the best.
There's a new place that's very good. Oh, and when I get there, I must phone my hen party girlfriend, Jerry.
Those little scars on your lovely chin, left and right. What did it? How did you get them?
Oh, hunting innocent foxes. My dear papa was horse mad. He still is, I'm afraid.
Where does he live?
Daddy? Oh, the usual tumble-down schloss in Shropshire. Miles too big, but they won't move. No staff, no money. Ice cold 3/4 of the year. Mummy can't even boil an egg. Isn't this place nice?
Spot on. Did you get your hen party, friend?
Of course. Go on about Rick.
Well, Ricardo's crash. No one found a body. No one found wreckage. And there's talk he was doing an opium run. There's rumours he's been seen recently. Grown a beard. A girl in Bangkok claimed only last month that Ricardo was the father of her child, newborn, which would make it an 18-month pregnancy.
It wasn't Rick's way to run, Jerry.
The whole world was going for him. That whiskey selling was only honest on your part. The distillers, the creditors, the law, local community, every one of them was going for him. Till one day, bingo, writs withdrawn, shades of prison recede. Who's the mystery angel? Who bought his debt?
Oh, Mr. Tew! What a marvellous coincidence. It's Mr. Tew.
Oh, Lisa, what? You all right?
Do come and join us, Mr. Tew. He's interviewing me, Mr. Tew, all about Vientiane and the poor pilot I tried to help 100 years ago. Jerry, this is a very good friend of mine who helps look after me.
Yeah, we met at the race course.
Sure, sure. You're the horse rider, okay?
Okay.
Mr. Tew, you're my witness. You must remember every word I say. Jerry, go straight on, just as if he wasn't here.
She'd have to summon Tew.
Mr. Tew is as silent as the
grave. Realized,
but
so should the circus.
Oh,
Ricardo's
Mr.
too
Tew.
Hot for her learn.
It's so exciting.
Still, Tew is a gift from
now,
the gods.
Do just
Tew,
sit there.
Straight to Co.
Waiter, waiter, do have the beef, Mr. Tew. We can have such a friendly chat, can't we?
So, what you looking for, Mr. Westby? You're a horse rider. Why you bother pretty girls, okay?
Good point, sport. Horses much safer, right?
He's looking for Ricardo, Mr. Tew. He thinks Ricardo is alive.
Luisa, tell you that. She tell you Ricardo's still around.
Who, old boy? I didn't get that first name.
Luisa, she tell you.
Oh, Lizzie.
No, she didn't tell me. I never reveal sources, Mr. Tew, which is sometimes a journalist's way of saying he's made something up.
A horse rider's way. Okay.
That's it.
Oh, listen, Jerry. Ricardo was so lucky. He got into the most frightful debt, and suddenly my lovely dotty Chinese friends, who ran Indo-Charter, such a funny little airline, decided they needed another charter pilot. They settled his debts, they gave him an old banger to fly...
Lizzie, when Ricardo went missing, he wasn't flying an old banger. He was flying a brand new Beechcraft. Indo-Charter never had a Beechcraft to their names. My editor checked it through.
Hey, Mr. Westby. Maybe Lisa stole them, an aircraft. Maybe she go out night and steal aircraft.
Mr. Tew, that's very naughty of you. But it was a complete fairy tale. I mean, one moment, Rick owing us all money, my allowance from Daddy included, and the next thing we knew, he had work. He was in the clear. All those other pilots grounded, and Rick flying all over the place
like a blue-ass fly.
Hey, listen, that's a pretty good blue-ass fly. I like that.
Thank you, sport. What we Indo-Charter like to work for, Lizzie?
Fabulous. It was pioneering, which is what drew them to me in the first place. I mean, I could perfectly well have simply lived off Daddy or my aunts. All we started out with was a couple of dreadful old DC-3s, literally stuck together with string and chewing gum. And we flew anything. Cars, vegetables, pigs.
There's a story that you people had some local Russian embassy link in Vientiane. That ring a bell at all?
Russians? Why on earth should Russians come to us? They had their own flights in and out.
Not even local runs?
Never. Well, how could we? Besides, the Chinese simply loathe the Russians, don't they, Mr. Tew?
Russian pretty bad people, Mr. Westby. They smell pretty bad.
My editor's convinced he can do a story about Ricardo's Soviet paymasters.
Paymasters? What are you talking about, Jerry?
Yeah, my editor, Liz, it's his idea. The man may be mad, but he's sure that Indo-Charter drew money from the local Russian embassy and piped it down to Hong Kong in U.S. dollars.
They're mad. I've never heard such nonsense.
You want to stick to horse riding? Hear that? In my opinion, you'll get more money that way, Westby. Okay?
Dealing with beautiful women, said Craw, is like dealing with known criminals. And the lady you're about to solicit undoubtedly falls into that category. Elizabeth Worthington, a criminal? She's done some things... A known criminal? Yes. Known, I'd go along with, absolutely. See it like this. The way she stared at the beastly Tew. A caged stare. Caged... I've known that face, and that look, and that dependence all my life, also. I've known you, so it seems, all my life, Lizzie. I've been waiting to meet you all my life, Lizzie. And now I have, I don't mean to ignore the signs. You're my sort of woman, Lizzie.
So, Monsignor Wisby, Mr. Chew, whom God preserve, got the message.
Clear and loud, Craw.
You're convinced Lizzie Worthington knew nothing of the Russian money? Not a single thing, Jerry?
I'm sure, sport. She knew Ricardo wasn't dead. She acted as though he was and had come alive. But the Indo-Charter Russian money surprise wasn't acting.
And Brother Chew?
As I said, he understood. The Beechcraft knowledge caused him thought just a moment before the bad joke that Lisa stole it.
What's his attitude to Lizzie?
Pure contempt, old sport. He wouldn't walk a yard to help her. Probably blames her for knowing Ricardo. Sometimes she looks at him like a caged animal. She's in a trap. She knows it.
Chew could have shut her up, Your Grace, but chose not to. You got anything else on your mind?
Yes. I walked past Star Heights last night around 11, coming from the press club.
Yeah?
There was a man sitting in a car parked in the mid-levels under a street lamp with a good view of Lizzie's windows above him, right? Sam Collins is his name, and I'd like to know, sport, what the hell Sam Collins is doing in Hong Kong, let alone keeping surveillance on Lizzie's flat.
Message from Craw, George. Schoolboy has spotted Sam Collins outside Star Heights, wants to know, and so on.
Yes. I take it Craw has told him what we agreed, Peter?
Oh, yes. But Collins is no longer with us, left under a cloud, all of the ploy we passed to him. Schoolboy, it appears, is not completely satisfied.
That's rather worrying. Cable Craw to keep a close eye on Schoolboy. Very close.
Right.
Now, to Salas and Connie at you any moment. They've traced Nelson Coe, did you know?
I heard rumours, George. He is alive.
Oh, very much so. Come.
Hello, Ed, darling.
Hello. Hello, hello. Ah, yes, Molly, you also. Good. Now sit down, everyone, please. Ah, how are you, Connie?
This weather, George, darling, gives me hell.
No one else, George?
No, Peter, you can lock us in.
All right. There you are, Doc.
Good. Floor is yours, DeSalis.
Nelson Coe, also known as Ko-Sheng Siu, and later as Yao Kai-Sheng. But we shall call him Nelson. We know from the missionary Hibbert of Nelson's early years, which in Nelson's official biography is dismissed as exploitation at the hands of Western imperialists in childhood, when he was poisoned by religion. He left Shanghai in 53, went to Leningrad and studied engineering and shipbuilding until 56, where he came under the protection of Ivan Bretlev. Connie.
Academician, Leningrad Faculty of Shipbuilding, latter-day talent spot of Carla.
1957, returned to Shanghai.
Doc, 56 to 57, a year.
A tour of Soviet shipyards is the official explanation.
Spirited off to Carla's training school, George, unofficially.
57. Was that before or after the Sino-Soviet split, Doc?
Before. The split began in earnest in 59.
So we can assume that after Carla's training, he went back to China as a mole, right?
He did well for himself. Seats on various naval planning committees. Molly.
Well, by 63, his name pops up regularly in the Cousins Peking Watch reports.
So, until the Cultural Revolution, he was on his way. Mao's madness disgraced him. 67, this. The usual grim story, one supposes, Chief. The dunce's cap spat on in the streets, indoctrination camps, labour education, his family beaten up.
When did he start his way back?
He was back in Shanghai by 1970, probably doing menial jobs. But he soon started to be functional again. He has what Peking needs most. Brains, technical know-how, experience. He was formally rehabilitated in January 73.
Let me see. Payments to Drake Co. have their beginnings in when? Mid-72, and they rise steeply in mid-73.
Oh, the more Nelson knows, the more he can tell, the more it gets.
His rehabilitation was swift. By June of 73, he's acting in an unknown capacity for the Central Committee of the Chinese Communist Party.
Holy smoke!
That is not all.
A report from the cousins of strong reliability has him down as an advisor to the Munitions and Ordnance Board of the Ministry of Defence.
We can regard this as one of the key positions in the whole of the Chinese administration. He would know things like the total capacity of their shipyards. He could tell us of their submarine potential. And there is more. Recently he's become a member of a body set up to coordinate the Chinese intelligence effort, something we ourselves know absolutely nothing about. That's all, Smiley.
Thank you, Doc. Nelson Coe is a prize worth having. And his motive, Doc, why should he still work for Carla?
Oh, really, George, darling, he has to. Blackmail an enormous reward, steak and carrot.
But how do you see it, Doc?
He's Chinese, he's pragmatic. He's Drake's brother. He knows very well his market value to the Russian service.
$500,000 US?
Oh, yes. He can't get out of China yet, but it is there against the day when he will.
Drake tried to get him out once, but Ricardo failed him. Drake may have better luck next time. He may try Ricardo again. Yes, Peter, schoolboy's next step must be Ricardo.
Yes, George.
Have the cousins run him to earth yet, Molly?
Oh, they're almost sure he's still in Laos, near Vientiane.
Thank you. Doc?
I wanted to add, Chief, when the Cultural Revolution came, many people in Nelson's position believed Mao had gone mad. Nelson was always a Russian admirer. The humiliations he suffered under Mao made him conform outwardly, but inwardly he remained a bitter, vengeful man. I think this is likely.
Do the Chinese mention Drake Coe anywhere, Doc?
In the latter biographies, a brother is said to have died in Shanghai in 1949, at the time of the communist takeover.
Nelson is Carla's mole. He's sitting on a priceless crock of Chinese intelligence. Now, that alone we could do with. He's acting on Carla's orders, and the orders themselves are of inestimable value to us. They'd show us precisely how much the Russians know about their Chinese enemy. We could take back bearings galore. Now, if Drake Coe returns to his plans to get Nelson out of China, our mission is clear. Let us hope that by shaking Drake's tree, we force him to act. Thank you. Everyone.
George, this cable arrived from the floor just as the meeting was beginning. I've only just read it. I think we...
Thank you, Peter. Now, wait a moment, everyone, will you? The man Frost, the banker whom schoolboy forced the information on the gold seam count from, has been found dead. A long death, it seems. Torture and mutilation. Death by strangulation.
We've drawn them, dear.
Yes, indeed. The response to shaking Coe's tree is more than we expected. Operationally, we've advanced the case. However, we have his ugly death on our shoulders.
Trouble was, Frost had nothing to betray. It's the worst that can happen to anyone. He could only give them the name of one journalist, schoolboy, which they had already.
Is schoolboy at risk, Doc?
Not in my opinion. In Coe's eyes, schoolboy is only a journalist. By removing one journalist, he will not remove the risk. On the contrary, he will bring out the whole pack.
Yes, you're probably right, but I'd like schoolboy away from Hong Kong before much longer. Once he's away, perhaps Coe will relax a little. Yes, Connie?
What about Sam Collins, George? Have you had thoughts?
Sam is to stand by, do nothing until he has the green light. He knows that. He may not be needed. It all depends on how Coe jumps. Molly, will you please ask the cousins to step up their surveillance on both Coe and Hugh? No street work, though. No frightening the game. No nonsense of that kind.
Yes, Mr. Smiley.
Well, thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Peter, I... need to draft a cable to Craw. Tell him to put Schoolboy on standby to go to Ricardo.
Yes, George. I suppose Schoolboy has heard about Frost.
Oh, yes. Let's hope he doesn't take things to heart too much.
The bank is offering a reward of 50,000 Hong Kong dollars.
They took weeks. Killed him twice. Poor little Frosty. Wants to make him talk. Wants to shut him up.
A vicious case of mugging.
Give or take a little. I, Gerald Westerby, killed him.
He was a loyal servant of the bank.
Sorry, Frosty. Sorry. But boy, oh boy, have we shaken the tree.
When writing about this, I hope you will remember the reputation of the bank.
Are you listening, Your Grace?
The smell in my flat this evening. Tews smell. Foraging.
The message is you're to gird your loins, ready to leave beautiful, exotic Hong Kong.
Tew going through the flat. But they use me like Frosty was used. For the fun of it.
Gerald, Your Grace, you will be required to take your pressman's arse to Laos. Visit one Ricardo, savvy.
Leave Lizzie to the horrible Mr. Tew.
Are you listening? They don't want you to finish up like that poor bag of Frost, for one thing.
Leave Lizzie to Sam Bloody Collins, too. White slaver as well,
so
probably.
So take care. You keep in. No late nights.
Lizzie, who has soft, fine blonde hair on her spine.
You're to discover Ricardo's plans, Monsignor, and shake the tree hard. Tell him about Brother Nelson Co.
And they won't want you back in Hong Kong,
sport. You're to ease thoughts of what is going on here, Jerry, from what you are pleased to call your mind. Orders.
They won't want you anywhere but London.
You can talk to Ricardo about Mrs. Worthington, and that is all you will do about Mrs. Worthington, Monsignor. Orders.
If we live through things, Lizzie, where shall we meet?
I pray and hope you have taken some of this in, Your Grace.
Surely to be here, George. Look, old boy, now is the time, surely, when you should go to Martello and make a clean breast of things. Tell him about Nelson Co. Ask him to take over the rest of the operation. You've no real resources, have you, George? And think of the good it'll do us in the years to come with our American friends.
Do you mind walking with me to the cousins, Molly?
Not at all, Mr. Smiley. It's a fine day.
Yeah.
Peter tells me that all is deadly quiet in Hong Kong.
Yes, yes, it is. Cow and his man, Tew, seem to be waiting for something. And we cannot let them wait much longer.
Well, that zeal of the land narcotics man, Sol, will arrest everyone in sight.
Oh, yes. He'll have to wait for Co to leave Hong Kong, though, which could well be quite the wrong time for us, that is.
Mr. Martello will be bursting with Highland air, I suppose, after his weekend.
Scotland? Weekend? What does he do there, do you know?
Fishes. Sir Saul Enderby has a bit of water there, as they say. Ed says Martello supplies the plane, Enderby the fish.
So they're friendly, are they?
Oh, it has burgeoned recently, Mr. Smiley. Since Enderby remarried, so I'm told.
Why is that? Does he want to get away from his new wife?
She's an American, gee. Rich Washington hostess. Knows Martello from some way back.
I see. No wonder Enderby wishes me to tell Marty about Nelson Co. I don't think I have to, do you? Enderby's done it for me. I wouldn't be surprised.